Yo, this is Fred, the Hammer Williamson. I'm here to tell you about the LC and the Jack Show. You know what I'm saying? You want the real deal? You want the real, honest opinion from your guests? Listen to this show. You will get informed. I don't know what you do with it after you get it, but you will be informed. All right? LC and Jack Show. Check it out. Ciao.
Are listening to the LC and Jack radio show live from New York. And now, here are your hosts, LC and Jack.
Welcome to the LC and Jack radio show with your man, LC, holding it down. Give us a shout here in the studio. You can reach us at area code 347-843-4738. Up close and personal, Urban Talk Radio. Well, we thank you for joining us for another edition of the show. We're enjoying summer. We're right in the thick of it. Hopefully, you are enjoying your summer as well. So, with the summer comes heat, and we have a guest that definitely is going to heat up the phone, heat up the smartphone, heat up the computer. Whatever you're listening to the show on, he's definitely going to heat it up. Every time he comes on, this is actually the second time coming on the show. I'm sure he's going to say something that's going to kill our stomachs, in a good way, that is. He's a funny dude, but he's serious in what he says. Honesty is definitely his point of view, which is all good. You know where he's coming from. He's straight, hardcore, as they say. So it's just great that he joins the show. And I guess I should let the cat out of the bag. Our guest this evening is none other than Fred the Hammer Williamson. He is, of course, legendary actor, producer, writer, and athlete. Yes, athlete. For those young heads that don't go back that far, his name, the Hammer, comes from the massive hits that he used to put on the receivers. So he's definitely going to, we're going to cover a lot, as much as we can cover. So we're so pleased, again, to welcome to the show, Fred the Hammer Williamson. Well, Fred, what's welcome up, back to the show.
Yeah. Well, listen, you missed one statistic, dog.
What did I miss?
College graduate.
Oh, yes. No doubt about that. Yes, you are definitely a graduate. My apologies. That's important.
It's okay. I correct you. Northwest.
You are the man. I tell you, you're still hitting them hard. And thanks again for joining us again for another edition of the show. It's been, I want to say, 2 or 3 years since we last spoke to you.
Yeah.
And during that time, I know you've been shooting a lot of different movies.
Exactly.
And tell the audience, for those young heads that may not be familiar with you, a little bit about, and I know you played, you started off with the Oakland Raiders.
Started with the Oakland Raiders, traded to Kansas City Chiefs, went to the Super Bowl I, Super Bowl 50, anniversary is coming up in 2016, so that's going to be a pretty big deal. So played in the first Super Bowl, Kansas City against Green Bay, made all pro 5 or 6 times, who knows. Intercepted 42, 41 interceptions. So, I did my job. I did my thing. I was all pro 5 years. So it's all good.
And that, another,
another accomplishment. You know, you reach a goal, you set goals, and you work hard to get them. They don't come to you. You have to work hard to get them.
No doubt about it. Did you have a chance to work with Al Davis?
Al Davis, I'm an original Raider. Al Davis was a coach with the Raiders when I was there. The man was a genius. He was a genius coach. Guy knew, he knew everything about football. He kind of lost his way once the NFL sort of disappointed him. And then his whole motive operandi became to get even with the National Football League owners because they had did him dirty, and so he intended to get him back. So he became a different kind of coach once that happened.
Yeah, he give him a lot of credit. Like you said, one of the originals teams.
Yep.
That's part of the NFL. Yep.
He was a genius. But once they did what they did to him, and he said, I'm moving the Raiders, and he did it only to upset them, and he moved the Raiders to L.A. They sued him. He sued them back, and he won the case. He won $50 million, then he went back to Oakland. But they had agreed to merge behind his back because he didn't want to merge with the NFL. He wanted to stay AFL.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it behind his back, and that they did it after they had made him commissioner of the American Football League. So once they merged, they fired him and made Pete Rozelle the commissioner. So he was very upset by all that.
Wow. Okay. You just gave me some knowledge, some information I didn't even know.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Wow. Well, I tell you, knowledge is power, as they say. So
yep.
Thank you for blessing us with that information. Tell us, you were the original cover, the DB back that everyone feared. Football is really not like that now, but you were the shutdown corner at that point.
Well, shutdown corner back in the day had a little, you know, if you were fast and you were big, which I was the biggest DB ever played a game. I played it at 225. So my mentality was, why should I have to cover you? I'm just going to knock you down. So if I knock you down, I don't have to cover you. So I don't care how fast you are. If I'm knocking you down, your speed don't mean nothing to me. But back in the day, you could hit a pass receiver all the way down the field until the ball was in the air. Once the ball was in the air, you couldn't touch him. Once I retired, they changed the rule. The rule now is you can't touch him after 5 yards. So the guy has a free run down the field now, the pass receiver. But before, your job was to get past me. Catching the ball was secondary. You couldn't get past me.
And so that was, you really started what they call a shutdown quarter, as you say. Now,
bump and run, they started calling it.
Yep, bump
when
and
you
run.
Ran forward, I didn't get out of your way. I made a collision. It was a collision between me and you all the way down the field.
You attacked that receiver, right? He couldn't even get down the field.
That's with a hammer. You know, you got forearms in the chest, across your temple. You're getting everything. You're getting hit everywhere by the hammer.
What's your impressions about who they call, I guess, the best, at least, shutdown corner in these times, Darrell Revis?
Well, most of those guys are self-appointed, you know. I mean, the guy... The position in the corner, you can be a hero and a goat all in the same game. You make one bad play. But what I don't get is how can a guy get beat 5 yards and 10 yards down the field and he's making $3 million? Even you can go out there and play and make $3 million and get beat by 10 yards.
You ain't lying about that one.
And you take the $3 million and you won't
be
mad.
Money.
You won't be mad. You take the $3 million and you won't be mad.
You ain't lying about that. Yeah, the money in sports these days, Fred, is off the charts. I'm in the wrong business.
Because the way they negotiate now, you are as good as your agent can negotiate. That's how good you are. It's based on how much money you make, is how valuable you are to the team, which is ridiculous. You should be paid based on your value to the team because of your ability. Back in the day, we couldn't even have any agents. They closed the door on you. You go and brought an agent, they closed the door. They didn't have an agent until they had the strike. Once the strike was over, which was like the early 80s, then they started allowing agents to come in. But before that, there was no agent, man. You're sitting in a room face-to-face talking to some guy that's got $90 million in his pocket, and he's talking to you like you're a kid, you know? So you had to be a rebel back in the day.
But you definitely changed the game. These brothers nowadays, really should reach back to you. Well, it seems like it's starting to change, but they should be thanking. They should be thanking y'all.
No, it ain't happening. The present day players don't care nothing about the retired athletes. They don't care nothing about the veterans. They could care less. They're making their money. They don't even run together. These guys don't even party together. They don't run together. Back in the day, we'd go into a town. We were Raiders. We'd go into Boston. The guys, the team would come by. We'd come in like on a Friday. They would pick us all up at the hotel, take us to their house. They'd have a party. Then on Sunday, we'd try to beat each other to death. That was a camaraderie because we played for respect. We played for the pride. We wouldn't play for the money because we weren't making any money. So we played just for the respect of being called a professional. That's low on the totem pole today.
Is there, despite, I guess, the way that the players are these days, is there any what we call throwback players that you would say, you know what, that brother, I respect him as a professional football player on and off the field?
We all, back in the day, man, we had a whole lot of respect for each other because that's all we had, you know. Guys were making any money, so you had to respect the guys. You know that if a guy made the team, you automatically give him respect. Because he didn't have no agent, he had to perform. You know, you got a bad leg, a bad knee, you better not even show that you limp and got a bad leg. You play with a bad knee, a bad leg, that's the way it was, man. You know, so everybody who played back in the day, old school, I got maximum respect for all of them.
Right, but anybody now, Fred, that you would say, you know, he's a hell of a player. He could play when you played, and he, besides playing now.
Yeah, but I mean, life ain't all about football. It ain't all about what you do when you play the game. It's your whole life. It's how you live your life. It's not just you buying a house with 25 bedrooms and it's only you and you got 18 cars in the garage and 500 suits. You know, that don't make you a great guy. It don't even make you a ball player, a great ball player. It means that you got a good negotiator somewhere.
Right.
So the level of describing how a guy is, it has to be a complete picture, man. It has to be the total thing. It ain't about just playing the game. It's about what you do with your popularity. How do you help your neighborhood? Are you popular in your neighborhood? Are you doing something to help your neighborhood? To me, that's what it's about.
I agree. Totally agree with you. I definitely concur with that sentiment. That's why I asked you those questions. And, you know, I was always asked, you know, I've had a lot of, you know, ball players, baseball, you know, football on, and asked them the same questions. And the response is, you'd be surprised, kind of similar to what you just said. So
I'd be shocked because I ain't seeing it. If they feel that way, why aren't most of them doing it?
Well, I would say, for their defense, there are some of them. I'll give you a name. He just retired several years back, not too long ago, but I think definitely would fit what you're talking about, a throwback-type player on and off the field, is Curtis Martin.
Yeah, well, he's old school, man.
Yep. So, Curtis Martin,
I don't think Curtis made $20 million like some of these guys make, $8 million. He didn't make that.
Nah,
he
didn't
make... old school.
Yeah.
He's old school.
Yeah.
So old school mentality is different, man.
Yep. Definitely. So, but give us an idea. You had a chance to work with some great actors. Is there anyone in particular out there that you say, you know what, I haven't had the opportunity to work with that young lady or young man, and I'd like to.
I'll work with any young lady that says yes.
Is there anybody out there, Denzel, or anybody out there that you want to work with that you haven't?
No, listen, if you look at all the movies, the kind of movies that they make, everybody is copying the Hammer style. They're copying me, man. Denzel tried to do American Gangster, which was Black Caesar. Quentin Tarantino did Inglourious Basterds, and I'd already did Inglourious Basterds in 1976. So how am I going to work with somebody that's imitating me?
Right. Okay. All right. Well, just asking the questions out there for our audience.
Here's how I go. For the first 10 years, They said, give me Fred Williamson. The second 10 years, give me somebody that looked like Fred Williamson. The next 10 years after that, who is Fred Williamson? So it starts all over again, dude.
I got you. You know, we got you here. All right. So with that said, you've worked with the lovely Pam Grier. Tell us that experience.
Smells good, tastes good, sweet girl.
My man Brett loves you to death, my partner. I'm sure he loved to hear that. Yeah, he's actually on the line.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Mr. Fred? The Hammer.
How you doing, dog? What's up, man?
I'm good.
Good.
Well, Pam is, I love Pam. I actually saw her on an interview not too long ago. She still looks great.
Yeah.
And I know, and we talked briefly off the air, but I know you're going to be having a sequel coming up. So why don't we tell the audience a little bit, the original Gangsters sequel that's coming up, who's going to be in it. Just give us some backdrop on it for the listeners.
I've been trying to put it together for so long, man. It's ridiculous the fact that I've been trying to put this thing together. So I haven't got all the cash yet, but I mean, the cast is Jim Brown, Pam Grier, Richard Roundtree, Bernie Casey, Antonio Fargas, Robert Forster. I mean, it's a full house. It's a win-win situation. Budget is $1 million, and I can't find a budget for $1 million. Ridiculous.
Man, well, you know what? I just met Mr. Antonio Gelini out there in L.A. Maybe we can present it to him, see what can happen. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a little connected with Hollywood there, Mr. Williamson.
I understand. That's what it takes. Take somebody.
You inspired me the last time you was on the show. And I've been doing my Hollywood thing. And you're looking at me like the lead on making something happen. So since you said
that's it.
I'm going to be going to this family award show August 27th out in L.A., and I'll definitely drop it on them. So if you can give me a proposal, well, maybe we can hand it over and see what we can do, because I would love to be a part of that.
Ask them if they'd be interested. The budget is $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one I did, Original Gangsters, was only out 3 weeks. Orion filed bankruptcy, but in that three-week period, the movie almost made $30 million.
That's unbelievable.
But Orion filed bankruptcy and sold the whole kit and caboodle of all their movie library to Warner Brothers. So now Warner Brothers is just sitting on it. They don't want it. They're not interested in doing a sequel. So, hey, I move on. I do other pictures. I've done almost 8 pictures since then, man. So sooner or later, I'll get it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean the movie was great, classic movie. Original Gangsters.
This one has a boxing background. Jim and Pam now live in Gary, and they own a boxing club, and they have a really good prospect that looks like it's going to be something. And the guys who run the boat casino are the bad guys. So they come, they want to buy the fighter from Jim and Pam. They don't want to sell, so they send some of their muscle down there to try to convince them that they should sell. Mistake. They shouldn't have done that.
I love it already. Don't tell us anymore. But but we know that's coming out, and we'll have you back on the show once that date
I'm
is
up tomorrow.
Close.
Tomorrow I'm leaving to for Rome, Italy. Tomorrow I'm doing a film called The Last Hitman with Franco Nero and myself. The movie, I'll be shooting that in Rome in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Beautiful. Wow. Tell the audience, how many languages do you speak?
I speak 3 languages. Well, maybe 4 if you call, if you include soul. Yo, what's up, brother? How you doing, man? That's a language too.
That's that New York soul.
Good job. That's Chicago, homeboy.
Chicago, New York. Connected to the pipeline.
That's it, dude.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Oh boy, unbelievable!
It's all good, man. You know, you keep trudging, you keep trying to do, moving forward. You know, you don't look back. You keep forward. Somebody said no, you just move on to the next project. You go back to somebody else, they say no, you keep moving to the project. I mean,
that's
they
it.
Like It ain't like I'm giving up because that's not my mentality. It's not my lifestyle. I'll get the picture made. I may not get it made exactly when I want to, but in the meantime, I'm still doing my thing.
I hear that. Well, and that's it. And that's the way you do it. Nothing like they say in life, you're going to have some times where, you know, you got to wait. Timing's everything.
Yeah.
So it'll happen.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we look forward to that, and we'll have you back once that's ready. We'll definitely
right.
have you back, or even before that.
No
who
doubt.
The hell knows?
Yeah, no doubt.
Tell us about, and I got to take a step back, my brother, and I should have did this in the opening, but better late than never. Congratulations on your Pioneer Award from the Toronto Black Film Festival. Congratulations.
Yeah.
First ever.
Yeah.
Presented.
Well, you know what happens, man. You never know who's watching you. You know, so you got to play your hand the way that you feel is right all the time. And if what you do turns out to be right, then that's a good thing. So when they call me to get this award, it just surprises me because you don't realize how many people are watching you or how many people are watching me when I do. You know, so it's a
mm-hmm.
good thing. It shows that it's motivational and you know people can. Their success just with the right attitude, because it's about attitude.
That's right. It's all about attitude. And like you said, so it's so true. You're out there doing your thing. And I really think, and you may not agree, but you are inspiring some of these, well, you see, you know, you're inspiring people of all nationalities.
Yeah, but, I'm telling you, no, I agree. It happens. I mean, I see sometimes I'm at the airport, man. Guys run up to me, 35 years old, 40 years old, saying, man, I hate you. I said, well, what's your problem, man? I said, my old man used to throw your name in my face all the time. You got to be like him or be like him, man. The guy's a successful, successful athlete. He went to college. He graduated. So be like him. He said, but I love you, man. Thank you. So that's the way it comes at me.
Well, I like the way you, during the times, and I talked about this to a brother the other day, yourself and Jim, and other and a lot of people during that time, not a lot, I'll say a select few,
yeah.
that really persevered through the 60s and 70s when things were
yeah.
very difficult, man, for us.
Yeah. Yeah,
very difficult.
But the difficulty created motivation. You know, how are you
yes.
going to tell me that I can't do this? Maybe I can't do it right now, but when I come back in about a week, I'm going to have it down. And if I don't have it down then, I'll be back in another week, and I'm going to have it then. Then when I get it, I'm going to own you.
Yeah, but it was different. I mean, when you see some of these movies, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Express with Ernie Davis.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw
yeah.
that movie. Just
no,
for,
I know about it.
It talked about what he had to go through and what you know when he went to Syracuse University.
Yeah, but Jim was there before him, and Jim had it even worse than he did.
I know. I was just going to say that, but for me, again, for me to see what he went through, and I said it was 100 times worse. Than what Jim went to but you know just seeing that like I said and some people nowadays seeing that like wow that,
yeah well one day it'll show mine because I went to Northwestern I was the first black athlete to go to Northwestern
mm-hmm.
my story is a monster story but I had to be like the villain because anytime you do something different and change things you become the villain
right
so I had to live as a villain almost in my whole damn life living as a villain because you're the one who refused to say to take the no and you push forward and you go against the grain you become villainized
yes no doubt about it but I tell you you've made it a tremendous impact and keep doing what you do my brother you're paving the way for through your work, through what you doing you.
Well, I don't know any other
you're
way.
Helping.
Yeah,
I don't
know any other way.
Yeah, you're doing it. What about the internet? How is that? Has that changed how you do business?
I have nothing. I don't Twitter. I don't do none of that stuff, man. I don't even shoot digital. I'm still a 35 millimeter guy, dude.
Really?
Oh yeah, I ain't shooting digital.
Wow. Any reason why?
It doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't have the same feel. The edges are not as sharp. There's soft edges in the digital. It's what's affecting the negative part of the business now. These guys are going to Walmart buying cameras and calling themselves photo producers, and they're shooting films, and they're selling them to HBO and Showtime for $10,000 because Showtime needs to show movies at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. But what that has done is up the ante for so-called independent films. Now they got to make them at a little bigger budget. They got to put some stars in the film to make it a profitable film. Independent business is suffering because of this digital junk that's being made.
Okay. Wow. I'm glad you're shedding some light on this. I was always thinking that the independent was the way for everyone to do their thing.
I didn't say that. What I've said is that the independent industry has now been forced to up the ante. They can't make small, low-budget films anymore because they're now being bastardized by these guys making these cameras that they buy at Walmart and make movies with them. Somebody made a movie with an iPhone.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So that's hurting the independent business because now independent has to make bigger budget films and get some stars in their film in order to not be overwhelmed by these cheap-looking movies.
I got you. Gotcha. I understand exactly what you're saying. Wow. Making it harder.
Yes,
as you said.
Making it harder. Making it harder.
What about, we had a gentleman on the line who does his stuff via the internet, a lot of his shows. I know you don't touch it, but do you think that's an avenue that you could pursue with some of your movies in addition to the outlets that you do now?
Well, I mean, eventually they all get there, but I mean, the first is the big screen, and after that, it's Netflix, because Netflix is paying big bucks now. So the internet is like when the picture's 15, 20 years old, right? But that's when you've already, money comes to the mailbox, and you go, oh, here's a check. You're surprised by it. That's not a way to go to try to be a big success in a business.
I got you. So Netflix, though, do you think that's a good entity? Because they're coming out with their own movies.
Yeah.
They're coming out with their own
facades. But not only that, they pay big bucks. They buy films and they pay big bucks for films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Netflix is changing cable. I tell you that.
But you're not seeing a lot of digital films on Netflix. You know, you're seeing real movies.
Right. I got you. No, I definitely, I feel what you're coming from, and you're dropping a lot of information and knowledge on us. We always get a lot of people that want to get into the business. What would you say? Someone, we get young individuals all the time that want to get into the business. What would you say to someone that's inspiring, that wants to be in, get in the business, movies, right?
Get a job.
Get a job, huh?
Get a job. Get a job.
No other words of wisdom.
First of all, get a job, dude. Get a job because you're going to be unemployed for a long time in the movie business. So make sure you got a job to take care of yourself while you're trying to get into the movie business because... Dude, it ain't about how good you are. There's a lot of people that's in this business that are working that are not good, and a lot of people who are not working that are real good. So there is no level that you can come in and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. It don't work like that, man. It's like the same guys in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame football. I don't know how they got there. And it's a lot of guys that are not in it that should be in it. So,
right.
Hey, it works out that way, man. Probably the best about it is timing is everything. Brain
yes.
At the right time, at the right place, but be ready. When somebody says, okay, I'll do this for you, make sure you are ready. really, I got you. Ready, really prepared, because you're only going to get one shot.
You're right about that. You are right about that. You mentioned his name earlier, Quentin Tarantino. You worked with him in a movie.
Yeah.
And what's your thoughts about him? As a you know, he's got these movies that come out. I obviously work with him, so what?
No, Quentin is a innovative guy, but he's the first to admit that he takes a lot of his thought process from the films that he made from the movies of the 70s, because he worked in a video store his whole young life, and he saw Black Season, Hell in a Hog, Green Hog, and all those kind of movies. So he was looking at those kind of movies, and his movie style is sort of like that when he first came into the business, you know, hard, dirty, a little more blood than we use in those movies because he likes blood.
Oh, you know that.
Yeah. So, you know, we got together on From Dusk Till Dawn, and I came into that picture, you know, doing my thing there. So that worked out pretty good.
That was great. I love that movie.
Obviously, he must like my style because, as I said, he did Inglourious Basterds, and I had already done Inglourious Basterds 1976 with both men. So he made that movie. Then he came back, though, and I already did Negro style movie in the 70s with The Legend of Nigger Charlie, which was a slave beat up his slave master and run to the West and became a gunfighter.
Yeah, definitely would you like to do a project with him in the future?
Yeah, I'll work with anybody, man. They pay the price, pay the money, they get and abide by my three rules. My three rules are real simple. You can't kill me in a movie. I have to win all my fights in a movie. I can get the girl at the end of the movie if I want her. Now, that's two out of three you got to do. If you do two out of three of those, I'm coming. If you don't do that, I ain't interested, because you can't buy. I ain't for sale, dog. You cannot buy me. You cannot buy my integrity. You can't buy my image. You cannot buy my integrity. I don't care how much you got to do two out of those three rules, and I'm in your movie. Otherwise, I ain't interested.
I hear that. That's
we gotta talk that one up, LC. We gotta make sure that happens. You know what I'm saying? We get this thing moving.
It's all good. It's all good. What? Tell us a little bit. We got a couple more before we let you go. Tell us. You're from Gary, and of course, everyone knows Gary is a very popular locale in the United States because
most definitely
because yourself. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And did you ever have a chance to meet Michael? Obviously, you're in hometown.
No. Yeah. I met the family, been around them, you know, went to some concerts, went back, talked with them, you know. They appreciate the fact that I'm from Gary. I don't think they ever appreciated the fact that they were from Gary, but I appreciate the fact that they're from Gary.
When they made
their movie, they didn't even shoot in Gary. They shot in Cincinnati for Gary, Indiana.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. This is a shot right
and
there.
And I did OG and Gary.
Wow. Wow.
That's the original hammer, that's why. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Keeping it real.
Hey.
Keeping
it real. Hey, man, all those guys, all those kids that played real bad guys and real thugs, they were really bad kids in the street. Me and Jim went to a midnight basketball game, man, and asked them all to come into the movie. And, you know, we don't want no problems. If you feel you can kick out butt, why don't you line up and do it right now? And then, otherwise, come out tomorrow at 7 o'clock because we don't need no problems. Any problems we want to do, take care of them right now. Come tomorrow with a problem, we both of us are going to take you out. That was great, man. They were great. Cops would come around and says, hey, I've been looking for him. I said, no, you, man, he's working in the movie. You catch him later, you know. But right now he's in the movie. He's working for us. Kids were great, man. I mean, they were just looking for some respect, some attention, because they had nothing to do in the street, okay? We came to town, left about $3 million in the town and services and people coming and watching us. It was great. And at the time, my best buddy was Rudolph Clay, the mayor of Gary, Indiana, who's just passed away. So Gary is again suffering.
Wow. And a lot of people come from Gary. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's a good place to come from. a good place to get out of, dog. You know, that's part of the motivation. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the motivation. Get out of Gary.
Wow. It's unbelievable how many people, famous people, you know, come out of there besides yourself and
came
the Jackson.
Full speed, dude. Came out full speed. Don't get in our way. We're coming out of Gary.
Oh, you lied about that. Well, you're in the bad part of town. You want to clear out as soon as you can.
What? Where's the good part at? There ain't no bad part. The whole damn town is done, dude. There's no war zone, man.
Well, you want to clear out of the state, wherever you're heading.
Dude, just go to Chicago. Go over there, man, you know. Just go to Chicago. As a matter of fact, I spent more time in Chicago than I did in Gary.
Wow.
Yeah, I drove through that last year when my video camera. I was like, wow, this place.
No, they got buildings. They have them. Got about half buildings on one kind of street there. You know, you open the door and see all the way through to the backyard, dude.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Tell us about your experience working with Jim Kelly.
No, Jim Kelly was a real professional martial artist. He was a fairly decent actor, but he believed in the martial arts. That was his spirit, and that's what kept him going. That's kind of what he wanted to do. Was he wanted to emulate Bruce Lee? He wanted to be Black Bruce Lee. So he was very serious to the mental side of martial arts.
Yeah, it was I tell you, I loved him as well, seeing him in the movies doing his thing. And so, and I know you had a chance to work with him, so we definitely
he had a chance to work with him.
Get it right, LC, get it right.
I gotta get it right. I did correct you.
It's okay.
There's no second person here, right, Hammer? Ain't no second or third person here. It's first person.
Jim Kelly, though, me and Jim had made like 20 movies, you know, so Jim Kelly had a chance to go with us in Three the Hard Way.
Right.
And then we came back and we had a little discrepancy about, you know, the acting performance of Jim. And so what they did, which I didn't think Jim Kelly would ever go for, they cut his tongue out and take a hard ride so he couldn't talk. So in the Western movie, it was an Indian fighter, martial arts Indian fighter. I mean, he got into some kind of fight and the bad guy just cut his tongue out. So I didn't think he'd go for it, but he did. So we did a movie called Take a Hard Ride in Spain.
Well, That's what's good. It's, I tell you, just, you've done so many different movies. You've done all over the place. All over this world, is there a certain place where you're like, you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I live in Rome. I live in Rome 6 months out of the year, man. I'm in Rome most of the time.
What's so good about Rome?
Attitude. The respect that you get, which is just simple recognition of who you are and what you accomplish, and that's it, based on your accomplishments in life and based on who you are. That's how you're judged.
Okay, fair enough. You wouldn't say any place here in the States?
No, man, because it's not consistent. It's not consistent, man. Where are you gonna go where you trust everybody? You know,
no.
A city where you trust everybody? No.
No, not definitely not.
No, especially them other people.
The other people.
All right, we're gonna get ready to wrap the show, but we got some quick hits. So I'm gonna throw out some names, and you tell me what comes to mind. Tell me your feedback on it. All right.
I got it.
All right. Bill Cosby.
Funny as hell, in serious problems right now because of his past.
All right. You being kind. I like that. I was surprised.
Well, you know, the dude got caught. There's a lot of people have been doing that for years. He just got caught.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we mentioned that before.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Especially back in the day, man. That was That was common back in the day, man. When he was,
LC,
they got him LC, accused of.
LC, you already said?
Yep.
We talked about that last week. Go ahead.
Yes, we did. We definitely talked about that last week. Who was the underrated actor that, besides yourself?
Yeah.
Who's most underrated? It could be now or it could be at any time.
Well, you see, again, I mean, when you talk about an actor, you got to talk about somebody to stand for something. I'm looking
at
all these actors out there. They don't stand for anything. They don't put themselves in any situation that's going to interfere with their money making career, you know. So hey, I gotta consider that about who these actors stand for. Hey, I got no favorites.
No, okay. It could be anybody from back in the 70s to now.
Me and Big Jim and Bernie Casey.
Bernie Casey? Okay.
And Brown. Me and Jim Brown and Bernie Casey.
Okay. That's fair enough. 50 Cent.
I thought he was smarter, the fact that he was able to make all them shows. So I'm very disappointed in the fact that he has shown he's not as smart as I thought he was.
What have you seen the show Power that he's put out now? He's executive produced that.
The new movie?
Yeah. Well, it's a series.
It's amazing and all that. It's working for the man.
Yep. I like you said before, I think he got his shot, and he's making the most of, at least in the movie business or TV business,
well,
whatever.
First of all, you got to be smart to make all that much money and put yourself in that position. So he proved that he was smart on one level, but not smart on another level.
He couldn't sustain it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take it all home. You got to give some back, you know.
can you talk a little bit more to that? Because you said on one level he wasn't. Can you talk
well,
a little bit more to that?
He just filed bankruptcy. Don't you know that?
Yeah. Well, I think though. I'm not sure the legalities of it, but I know he was talking about that recently. The way he positions his money to protect it.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
He filed bankruptcy. Whether or not he's going to give up any money or lose all his money, not important. The fact that he put himself in a position that he has to file bankruptcy shows that he wasn't very smart in one area of business.
Gotcha.
His area of business of making money is superb. Holding on to it seems to be questionable.
Right. Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay. That's fair enough. Jay-Z / Beyonce.
A machine, a money making, living, breathing, beautiful, wonderful, money making machine.
Yeah,
they're doing their thing. They're doing their thing. It's unbelievable how much
she's the machine. She is the money maker. She is the machine that makes the money. She can stand up there without music and sing and make the money. She is the entity, the machine, the whole kit and caboodle.
Ain't mad at her, that's for sure.
She makes the musicians sound good.
You ain't lying about that. She definitely is. She's kind of a throwback artist because she can actually sing. A lot of these artists these days can't sing.
Exactly. No.
She can actually sing, which is
without question.
Yeah, was no question. And one more for you, Hammer, and then I'll let the bread man throw it at you. Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah is also a money-making machine. I respect Oprah. I like her a lot. I just don't like her choice of movies that she decides to make. She's a good actress. I think she can make better choices and better roles. She likes to seem to make pictures about black people suffering. And I'm tired of seeing black people suffer on the screen. I'm from old school. I was back in the late 40s and 50s. I've seen black people suffer a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she should do something, some drama, because she's a damn good actress. So do some drama that doesn't deal with racial politics. She seems to be entrenched in making statements in racial politics. And she's better than that. I mean, she's already done that. Okay, we know that. We know what she stands for. She needs to broaden herself, and because, you know, she can do it.
Right. Well, she has. She has, like you said, she's got the wherewithal to do whatever she wants to do.
Oh, she's talented. She's talented. But I'm just tired of seeing her suffer. She's
right.
Color Purple suffered, and his last victim, Selma, suffered. She likes to
play the butler. Yeah, the butler.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. No. Yeah, the butler. Yeah, no. Yeah, these movies, definitely. Yeah. Well, you know, point well taken. Definitely, you know, can see
like
where you're coming
spread
from.
Her wings. Spread her wings and show her talent. Show her talent in another area.
No doubt about it. And before the brand man jumps at you, Tyler Perry.
Is a throwback in a negative way to Mantan Molin and Stephen Fletcher. Not my kind of guy.
Okay. Yep. You don't like any of his stuff. That's basically what he's saying.
I don't like what he's making money off of, what he's representing with the fat mama. I mean, I'm sick of seeing her, and it didn't work for him. So when he tried to do an action movie about his daughter being kidnapped, that didn't work. I mean, that was turned out to be a comedy. That was out a week. That didn't make a dime because he played too many fat bro. What's the fat bro?
We don't even want to say it on the show. We don't even want to say it on the show.
No,
we
don't want to say it either.
We don't even want to say it on the show, but we know who it is. That dress needs to retire. I've been there. We banned it from the show, so we ain't going to go there.
He's beat it to death. No doubt about it. I hear where you're coming from. He's beat that character.
Well, he's got my kind of brother. That's all.
Yeah, he's been doing that character for... I don't remember who he was just doing the plays.
Mm-hmm. No,
before, he
but
came
you know
out.
What? You know what? You know what's really bad about it is that the brothers and sisters buy it.
I know. They brainwash.
They go for it. Now that's even more depressing than the stuff he puts out. Is the fact the brothers and sisters buy it.
Because they see what works, and they keep building them. That's how he built his empire, just on what he knew that society wanted.
Yeah,
society at that time wanted it, and they fed on it, and he took advantage of it. He capitalized on it.
That's the ghetto society, though. The ghetto society.
Yeah.
That's going for that. The ghetto society is going for that. You know?
No, no doubt about it. Hey, Brett, what do you got for Fred before
Fred,
we let him roll?
I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. It seems like every time you come on the show, I got a birthday party coming. And you're going to be somewhere else out of town, so you can't, you know, shine at my party.
Yeah. I'm farther than out of town, home.
I know that's right. But, you know, I don't know if LC told you, I got a birthday bash in Hawaii next month, so I'm going to have to do it solo. So I guess you're going to have to be in my 60th. I don't know.
You don't know where I might be, though. I might be anywhere.
You know, hey, we're going to meet up one of these days, but I just wanted to... You know, let you know it's next month, and you're gonna be out there in Europe doing your thing, whatever.
Yeah. I got all the bad people to kill over there.
We're gonna pray for you, and our prayers with you, and just want to come on. Is that right?
Well, Brett, another great guest. Great, I tell you, the Hammer, Fred, the Hammer Williamson, never disappoints because he keeps it real, whether you want to hear it or not.
100%.
He keeps it 100, as they say. So that's what I love about him. He talks about, he just tells you how it's going down. So you can't fault him for that. So we thank Fred again, the Hammer, for coming on the show. We're definitely going to have him back on in the future, especially when that original gangster is going to be coming out. So And what we have to do, we talk to Fred. We got to get them all on the show. Pam Grier, Jim Brown, all on the line. So we can have some fun. That'll be a really, really great show. So, but yeah, Brad. So, man, we're gonna get ready to get on out of here. But you definitely had a friend that was good friends with the Hammer. And so it was good that we're able to connect. So that's what's good, man. The power of the internet and the world is small because you never know who knows who. And that's what's good. Life is about friends and bringing that full circle. So with that said, my friend, we're going to wrap the show unless you got something to plug in. But we're going to wrap it. And until next week, stay safe, stay sound. God bless.
Peace.